Hello, everybody. I'm Jaren, and I'm a member of the H2O Church. And today we're going to be in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. If you want to just open that part in your Bible. Or it's up here, yeah. All right. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Amen.
All right, thanks, Jaren. Good morning, everybody. I hope you guys are doing well. Good to see you guys again. I hope you've had a good spring break. Hope you feel ready to go for the home stretch of the semester. My name's Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O. And today we're continuing in our series called The Invisible War. That's kind of where we've been at this semester. It's been a couple weeks since we've had our Sunday service. And so I'm going to give you kind of a recap of where we've been and even kind of where we're going. And so this series on the invisible war, it's on the topic of spiritual warfare. Okay, on the topic of spiritual warfare. And we've called it the invisible war because we're talking really about, in some ways, the unseen realm that's going on around us. That there's something going on in the background that's not always visible, but that there are spiritual forces at work and that there's a war going on, a spiritual war going on. And so here's how we've defined spiritual warfare throughout the series. Spiritual warfare is the ongoing conflict between the kingdom of God and the forces opposed to it. Okay, the ongoing conflict between the kingdom of God and the forces opposed to it. And so we kind of kicked off the series by defining that, talking about what spiritual warfare is, and then also talking about exactly what our spiritual enemy is trying to accomplish. And so he has three goals. These have been kind of the foundation of what we've been talking about here. Satan, or the devil, he's our primary enemy, and his main goals are to keep people from being reconciled to God, to hinder their intimacy with him, and to render their lives spiritually unfruitful, okay? To keep people from being reconciled to God, to hinder their intimacy with him, and to render their lives spiritually unfruitful. And so I just want to kind of remind you of those things as we're talking today, because these are kind of the backdrop of what we're talking about. These are the things that he wants to accomplish in your life and in the world around you. And it's vital that we keep those in mind so that we can fight well. And so after we set that foundation, we spent 3 weeks really going over the tactics of the enemy. Okay, so almost like, what should we expect this spiritual warfare to actually look like? Trying to demystify it a bit. Okay, so it's not always this crazy demonic stuff that's happening. A lot of the times, it's more regular things that are happening. And so we talked about spiritual blindness. We talked about deceit and how Satan uses lies and deceit and sort of mental battles to attack us. And we talked about temptation. Okay. And then we spent the next 2 weeks going over how we can fight back, how we can take spiritual ground in this war. Okay, we talked about perseverance, and then we talked about, most recently, we talked about fasting and how that's a major tool in the Christian tool belt. And so Aaron challenged us in that sermon to fast for something in your own life over the next 1 or 2 months and to fast on behalf of somebody else in the next 1 or 2 months. And so there's still time to do that. I'd encourage you to participate in that challenge. If you don't even know what fasting is about, you can go back and listen to it on Spotify. And so that's where we've been, to bring you completely up to speed. This week, we're doing one more sermon on taking spiritual ground. And then next week, we're going to wrap up this sermon series before we finish off the semester with a different series. And so the final way that we take spiritual ground is by fighting together. It's by fighting together. And so we led with this passage in Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a wisdom book in the Old Testament. And so we led in chapter 4, Jaren read for us, and in verse 12, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so I'm hoping that this kind of lays a foundation for us that really to talk about the idea that fighting in this spiritual war, one of the best ways we can fight back is by fighting together. And so here's the trouble. Everyone is fighting spiritual battles, whether you realize it or not. We talked extensively about this in week 1. Whether you realize it or not, there are spiritual battles going on in your life. The enemy is trying to hinder your relationship with God actively, and he's trying to hinder your fruitfulness for God's kingdom. Everyone has these battles, but most people are trying to fight them alone. Okay, most people are trying to fight them alone. This has become the norm in the West, I would say, especially. It's become more and more common for people to, if they believe in God, to express that privately. Okay, to express it privately. To reject organized religion, to reject spiritual communities like churches. Okay, it's become more and more common to say things like, I have my own way of connecting with God. Okay, that's become the common thing to say. Or I can be a good Christian without going to church or participating in a church. We live in a culture where it is the norm to think that your relationship with God is purely a personal and private endeavor. Okay? This is not what the scriptures teach. This is not what the scriptures teach. This is not how God has designed you to live. And so we're going to spend some time talking about why fighting together matters. Okay, why it's important, why we should be pursuing God with other people, not by ourselves. Okay, and so we're going to talk about why we should do that, and then we're going to touch on how, okay, how we do that. So that's kind of where we're going today. So the why. First, the first why. Why do we fight together? We fight together because we're vulnerable alone. Because we're vulnerable alone. I want to look at 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Okay, we could probably bring this passage into every single sermon we've taught on this semester, to be honest with you. I love this passage. I feel like it's such a great picture of spiritual warfare. Peter's great caution to the Christian is to be aware and alert and of sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I think that imagery is so striking. I find it to be such a striking passage. There's some key underlying things that I want us to see. First and foremost, the devil, he's prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's looking for someone to devour, someone to attack, someone to take down. But Peter tells us to be alert and of sober mind. And I think that this heavily, heavily implies that the enemy is selective about when he attacks. Okay? He's selective about when he attacks. Now, of course, he gives us some clarity on like, okay, what do we do about that? We should be alert. We should be of sober mind, right? We should defend against these attacks by resisting the devil and standing firm in the faith. All these are true. But something else that's important to note, I think Peter uses this imagery of the roaring lion looking for someone to devour very intentionally. Now think about when a lion is going to attack, right? Who are they going to select, right, to attack? Typically, they will select either the weakest in the pack or the most isolated, okay? The weakest in the pack or the most isolated. Here's what I want you to see. You are far more vulnerable to attack from the enemy when you try to follow Jesus alone. You are far more vulnerable to the enemy when you try to follow Jesus alone. When you isolate, when you make your faith a private endeavor, you are right where the enemy wants you to be, okay? When Satan is looking for someone to devour, it's typically going to be the one who is isolated and trying to do this thing all by themselves. All right? Peter reiterates this at the end of the passage by telling us to resist the devil and stand firm in the faith. Why? Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. He says, stand firm in this. Why? Because you're not alone. You're not alone in this. So Peter invites us to join with one another in the challenge of following Jesus and resisting the devil who's looking for someone weak and isolated to devour. I've been doing college ministry for about 13 years, okay? Gave my life to Christ while I was in college, almost immediately went on staff with H2O Church in Cincinnati, was there for a while before we moved here. I've seen tons of people walk away from Jesus, tons of people struggle in their faith with Jesus. The majority of the time when I see that happen, there are people that are not fighting this fight with other believers in Christ. Okay, there are people that are trying to do this alone. People that maybe come to church every once in a while on Sundays, but are not following Christ with others throughout the week. We fight together. Why? Because we're vulnerable alone. Because we're vulnerable alone. That's the first why. The next reason we fight together is this. Because we're stronger together. Because we're stronger together. Okay, this is, you might say this is the flip side of the very same coin, right? This is almost the same point as the last one, but it's the other way of looking at it. We are vulnerable alone, and we're stronger together. Tons of scriptures indicate this. Genesis 2, right from the very beginning, this is like the creation account. The Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Okay, from the very beginning, God did not design us to be alone. All right? He didn't design us to be alone. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. Okay, we are instructed to lean on one another as we follow Jesus. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 20. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. This is talking about the body of Christ, the church. And here, the Apostle Paul, he's reminding us that we all have different gifts to offer the body of Christ, and they're all important. This is to say that each person offers something different to the body of Christ, or put another way, look at me, by yourself, you don't have everything you need to follow Jesus, okay? By yourself, you don't have everything you need to follow Jesus. This is by design. Okay, this is by design. Pursuing God is a communal endeavor. Pursuing God together is not optional. Okay? It's not an optional aspect of the Christian life. It's not a just nice to have but not necessary aspect of following Jesus. Okay? You don't have everything you need in yourself. And so I just want to go through some ways. I just want to almost prove to you that this is true. All right? That this is true. Prove to you that this is the way things are, and some of the ways that I've seen this lived out, some of the ways I've seen exactly how valuable it is to follow Christ among other Christians. Okay, we're stronger together because you can borrow strength when yours is low. Okay, you can borrow strength when yours is low. Looking at Galatians 6:2, we just read that. Okay, I'm not going to read every scripture that I list here, but if you're curious, you can always write those scriptures down. But sometimes there are seasons in your walk with God that your faith dips, okay? You don't feel like praying. You're feeling discouraged. You're doubting or you're questioning all kinds of things. And when you are isolated, that spiral gets worse, all right? That spiral gets worse. But in community, someone can bear your burdens just like we read. They can remind you of the truth when you don't see it. They can share scripture with you. They can serve you. They can bless you. They can intercede for you. It's invaluable. Okay, it's invaluable. I have needed to lean on other followers of Jesus often throughout my life. Okay, often. And the reverse is true. I have borne others' burdens often throughout my life. And so, look, if you're the type of person that you hear that and you're like, I don't know, man, I don't like to rely on other people. Right? I don't like to rely on other people. I don't like to burden other people. I would just like to, if I can just lay this before you, get over it. Okay? Get over it and ask for help. God has told us to bear one another's burdens. This is what we just read. And it's because he's designed us to follow him in the context of deep community. Okay? Sometimes you will be the one who needs help. And sometimes you will be the one to give help. Both are important, okay? Both are important. You can borrow strength when yours is low. The second thing, you can get truth when your thinking drifts. And get truth when your thinking drifts. When we are isolated and left alone in this spiritual war, the enemy will have a field day with our thoughts. We kind of talked about this a little bit earlier in the semester. We talked about the tactics of the enemy, and we were talking about deceit, okay? If you weren't there for that, or if you're curious what this looks like, I would encourage you to listen to that. It is vital that we have people in our lives that can point out when we aren't thinking or living in line with the scriptures. Okay, we all need this. Every one of us needs this. To me, when I find a friend or a brother in Christ who is willing to tell me the truth when I'm not thinking rightly, that is like gold. Okay, to me, that is so important to my Christian friendships. The third thing, this is somewhat related, but your blind spots get revealed. Okay, sometimes there's sin in our life that we do not see. Okay? Sometimes there's behavior in our life that does not line up with the scriptures, and it is loving to gently point that out to other brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have blind spots occasionally. Scriptures invite us to point them out to one another. Okay? Here's the tough thing, and we're going to talk more about this in a little bit, but no follower of Jesus will ever see your blind spots if they don't know you. Okay? They will never see your blind spots if they don't know you. This is such a necessary part of the Christian life, but you can never experience that kind of correction if you aren't putting yourself around other believers. Okay? Number four, you can get accountability that actually changes behavior. Scripture invites us to be vulnerable about our sin struggles with one another so that we can be healed of them. And the reason for that is because sin thrives in secrecy. It thrives. It flourishes when it is secret. Okay? In private, we just think to ourselves, well, like, hopefully I can do better next time. But when we're in a community of people that know us, we can invite others to ask about those struggles. This phrase, so valuable, ask me about this later. I use that all the time. When I'm talking with other brothers and sisters in Christ and I'm struggling with something and I'm like, man, I need some accountability here. Ask me about this later. Ask me about this later tonight. Ask me about this tomorrow. If that's followed through, that can be an extremely powerful and helpful thing in our walks with Jesus. Number five, you gain access to gifts you don't have. 1 Corinthians 12, we kind of touched on this earlier. You don't have everything you need to follow Jesus alone. You're not a complete toolkit. Okay? Some people are extremely gifted in discernment or encouragement or wisdom or faith or prayer or prophecy or all kinds of other things. Nobody is gifted in everything. We're designed to follow Jesus together so that we can benefit from the gifts of others and they can benefit from your gifts as well. Number six, you gain protection from isolation drift. This ties back to the idea of being vulnerable alone. Look, people rarely decide to walk away from God in one moment. Okay? People rarely decide to walk away from God in one moment, but when we are isolated and we don't receive all these benefits we're talking about regularly, those lies we're believing and difficulties we're facing, that they can cause us to drift further and further and further from the Lord with nobody around us to point us back to Him. Okay? Isolation can lead to drifting from Jesus, but in community, we grow more and more in our love for Him. And then the last thing I want to put before you is this. You experience encouragement that fuels endurance. Okay? You experience encouragement that fuels endurance. People often underestimate just how powerful encouragement is. Like sometimes what keeps us going and helps us to keep pursuing God more and more isn't raw willpower. Okay? But somebody reminding us of what God is doing in our lives already. Somebody pointing out who God is making us to be, who we're becoming. Somebody reminding us of the ways that God is using us. These kinds of words of encouragement reinforces our identity in Christ, and it helps us to build endurance to keep pursuing Him deeply. Okay, so those are just some of the ways that we are stronger together. And if all this is true, if we're more vulnerable alone and actually stronger together, then biblical community, it's not just a nice add-on to your Christian life. This is not something that's optional. It's not understating it to say that Christian community is essential to your spiritual survival, okay? So the question should not be something like, is community a good idea? Or do I even want to or care to or have time for godly community? Okay, that's not the question we should be asking. We should be asking more so like, hey, I want to be close to Jesus, but am I actually doing this, right? Am I living arm in arm with other believers in Christ right now? Okay, and if not, what would it look like to step into that? And so we're going to kind of transition into the how. What does this look like? How do we do this? And so I'm going to lay two values before you that I think, hey, like these kind of underline all of the how of how we do this. The first thing is presence, okay? Presence. You cannot benefit from godly community unless you are regularly, physically present with other believers. Okay, coming to Sunday service is a great start, but you might have realized that it is a great touch point, but not a great place to build relationships. Okay, it's not a great place to build relationships. It's not where you're going to really get to know people deeply, and it's not where people are going to get to know you deeply. Almost certainly. Life group is a great next step. Catherine was talking about that in our announcements. The hope is that that's a place where you can build the foundation for deep relationships with other believers in Christ. And maybe some of that happens in life group, but really I think that that's just the foundation for hopefully what is happening throughout the week. Okay? Hopefully what is happening throughout the week in your relationships with these people. Okay? All the benefits we've talked about and what we're going over, we're talking about how you're stronger together, they don't happen unless you're actually present with other believers in Jesus. Okay? People are never going to see your blind spots unless they're around you enough to know you. People are never going to be able to speak into your life with challenge or encouragement unless they're around you enough to see and know who you are. They're never going to be able to bear your burdens in difficult seasons unless they're around you enough to know what's going on. Okay, all these things and more, they depend on your presence with other believers. The second value is intentionality. Intentionality. Mere presence is a requirement, but it is not enough alone. Okay, you can get together with other believers and do homework and watch movies or play sports or whatever together. And I hope you do that. Like, that's good. Like, that's a good thing to do. Like, I hope that you just enjoy each other's company. But you need to, at some point, be intentional with your time with other believers. Or you will not experience a deep benefit of community. This means that it's okay to shoot the breeze sometimes, but it's also important for you to talk about your walk with Jesus, okay? If you're not doing that, then just being around other believers isn't enough. I'd also say this about intentionality. Some of you just need to be intentional about making time for this, making time for this stuff, okay? It's not going to happen on accident. You need to pursue it. You need to ask somebody to spend time with them, to get lunch or coffee with them. This is an absolutely vital skill, being intentional with your time. Because you might not realize this, but oftentimes, okay, what I hear from people that don't want to get involved more in like a Christian community or fellowship with other believers when they're in college, a lot of time what I hear is, I'm too busy. I don't have time for this. And if that's you, I just need you to hear me really clearly and actually believe me when I say, while you are in college, you are actually the most flexible you will ever be. Okay? I mean, there are some exceptions to this rule. Like if you're a PhD student or something like that, you might be, you know, in the thick of it. But for the most part, while you are in college, you are the most flexible you will ever be. You're young. You're not married. You don't have a 40-hour a week job. You don't have kids. Okay, so if you can't prioritize what matters right now, you're going to struggle to do it when you graduate. And so I would just encourage you to build that rhythm into your life now because it's not getting easier. I promise you that. It is not going to get easier for you. This is the easiest time you will ever have in your life to build Christian community with other believers in Jesus. Okay, those are kind of the values, and those values underscore all the things I'm going to talk about. And we're just going to rapid fire go through five practicals. If you do these things, I feel strongly that you will experience all the benefits we're talking about of the Christian community that we're talking about in terms of fighting together. Number one, commit to a biblical community. Commit to a biblical community. God has made the church for a reason. Find a godly biblical church and go all in. Go all in with them. Be present with the believers there. Be intentional with them. Commit to investing in others and being invested in. Okay, this takes a great deal of intentionality, but it's worth it. Obviously, we are here for that purpose. Feel free to get more deeply invested in H2O. That's what we're here for. But there are lots of godly, biblical churches and communities in the UB area. And so, like, it doesn't even have to be us, but go all in. Okay? The second thing, practice vulnerability. Some people, not everyone, but some people that know Jesus should know you inside and out. Okay, they should know you inside and out. They should know how you struggle. They should know how you think. Okay, in our church, one of our motives is to know and be known by others. And it seems to me that when that happens in the lives of other believers in Jesus, God moves powerfully. God moves powerfully. Practice vulnerability. The third thing, speak into one another's lives. Takes intentionality. Okay, it takes time and effort to encourage others and correct others as well. Right? If you see like something good that God is doing in others' lives, point it out to them. Encourage them. And if you see some areas that maybe somebody is blind to or that they need to work on, lovingly and gently correct them. The fourth thing, fight for each other in prayer. Fight for each other in prayer. Okay, pray when you're with your brothers and sisters in Christ and when you're not, pray for them. Okay, pray for them. Know enough about what's going on in each other's lives that you can pray for each other multiple times a week when you're not with each other. And then the last thing is this, and this is the sticking point for a lot of people, choose your closest friends wisely. Okay, if you want to follow Jesus, your best and closest friends should be people that want to follow Jesus. Okay, this doesn't mean you avoid people that don't know Christ. Okay, I don't mean that at all. Obviously, we should be light to our friends and family that don't know the Lord. But the reality is that our closest friends are the people who shape us the most. The people who shape us the most. And so if we want to be shaped into the likeness of Christ, that means our best and closest friends should be people that love Jesus as well. And the people that we let shape us, and if we can help it, really the people that we spend the most time with ought to be people who love him deeply. Okay, so those are the five practicals to leave you with. And so I want to leave you with a challenge. I like that Aaron did this with fasting, and so I'm going to steal that and do that here. Pick one of these things and do it this week. Okay, pick one of these things and do it this week. And so if you haven't committed to a godly community, go all in. Make the commitment to get more invested. If you don't feel like your Christian friends really know you or you really know them, find a time to talk and be really truly vulnerable with them. Maybe for you, the best thing to do this week is to encourage somebody. Or maybe there's somebody you know you need to confront. You know there's something that you need to point out in somebody's life for their benefit. Or maybe you need to intercede more for your friends. Choose a few of your friends and make the commitment to praying for them every single night this week. Or maybe you need to reevaluate your inner circle, and because the people who are influencing you the most are actually leading you away from Jesus. All right, so those are the five things that I want to lead you with. So I love you guys. I really feel like this is one of the best ways that we can fight in this spiritual war together. And so I hope that benefits you to think about that. Let's pray. God, Lord, we love you. And God, we know that you have created the church for us, for our benefit. God, that you've designed us to walk this walk together. And God, I just ask that you would help us to do that and to do that well. And so, Lord, I pray that you would make it clear to each of us how it is that we're supposed to pursue this week, in what way we need to follow you in terms of fighting together. And so, God, we just pray all that in your name. Amen.